You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also this fall by Carter Hill Orchard.
New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program this hour. The show is brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and segment of the show presented by Concord Orthopedics. Experience the difference of true specialty care by going to Concord Orthopedics. For more information, check out ConcordOrtho.com. I'll be joined on the program right now by Dr. Neil Dion here at Concord Orthopedics, who is a total hip and knee replacement specialist. So that's what we're going to look at today. And what is the total knee replacement surgery? And how does a person know if they are going to be going in that direction as opposed to, you know, something a little bit different for the knee? There's a number of different options. So do you try to exhaust the other options, or if you see a certain person and they qualify for that, that's basically, you know, direction you'll go in?
Sure. So total knee replacement is a surgery that we typically do for people with severe arthritis of the knee. Arthritis is a phenomenon over time where people erode their cartilage. And so what we do with a knee replacement is we replace that with typically metal and surgical grade plastic. And yes, you're correct in that we exhaust our non-operative options before considering joint replacement. And so things like anti-inflammatories, physical therapy, steroid injections, and so forth are things that we can try before we move ahead with a surgery.
So will you, though, see a person where it just automatically you can tell that that's the surgery that you have to have? Obviously, arthritis is something that builds up over a period of time. Will you see a person and it's just, you can just tell that's it? Or I assume if a person's in an accident or if there's an injury that occurs, perhaps you'll go in a different direction based upon those circumstances.
Sometimes when I meet patients, they've already tried a number of those things. Most people who come in with bad arthritis, the type of people you're talking about, have already tried anti-inflammatories and using a cane and some Tylenol and things like that. And so it's pretty rare that we jump to surgery without trying any of those things, but quite often people have already tried those things by the time that they meet me.
That's a good point, where yours is a specialty where an individual, you probably see folks that are in a lot of pain, where it's not just, oh, I have a little bit of a problem, I'm here at the doctor because my knee hurts a little bit. It's generally people who have put off pain and have suffered for many years.
Oftentimes that's the case, though we do see both sides.
And in terms of factors that lead a person to have total joint replacement surgery, we kind of discussed that there in regards to arthritis, exhausting the options. Are there other things that lead in that direction as well? We've talked with the other doctors about how sometimes genetics play a factor, and obviously that arthritis is there too. Are there things other than arthritis that'll take you in this direction?
Particularly for hip replacement, there are some other issues that lead to a surgery like that. Certain types of fractures of the hip are fixed by doing a hip replacement rather than a repair. And then a condition called osteonecrosis, where the femoral head or the ball of the ball and socket joint loses some of its blood supply, and that results in a rapidly progressing type of arthritis that we also treat with a hip replacement.
Dr. Fox will talk a lot about weight being a huge factor in hip and knee surgeries and the buildup over time having significant issues with that. Do you see that being a factor, a big factor? And what are some of the other things that lead to these types of situations with knee and hip issues?
Weight absolutely can play a role in terms of exacerbating symptoms and leading to arthritis at a younger age. Other things that can play a role is things such as people who have had a prior fracture around a joint. Sometimes when it heals, it doesn't heal in the orientation that it was originally, and that can change the joint mechanics to varying degrees, and that can lead to abnormal forces through the joint that will wear away the cartilage in certain areas more quickly.
we hear obviously a lot during the winter months about the slip and fall injuries and that being a big part of orthopedic surgery. It seems like the knee is not necessarily one where you have a lot of those types of issues. Hip, maybe, you turn an ankle, but the knee, I guess because of its placement in the body, is not kind of a slip and fall, or is it?
You can injure your ligaments and so forth if you have a fall on the ice, but it's rare that we're doing some type of urgent surgery for a knee injury.
This is Dr. Neil Dion joining us here at Concord Orthopedics. I'm Chris Ryan. This hour of the program is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and this segment of the show brought to you by Concord Orthopedics. I want to talk a little about the advancements that have been put in over a long period of time in regards to knees, hips, and the direction that things are going there. Where are there different things? As an example, my dad has knee issues, and he had jelly injections, which he had good success with for a period of time, and then they've kind of worn off a little bit. But initially, he felt great. He was doing things he hadn't done before, and it was a complete rejuvenation for him. So are there other advancements that have been made that alleviate pain for folks that suffer a lot with knee issues?
That's a great question. I think some of our biggest advances in the past decade have been revolving around how we treat patients at the time of surgery. There are quite a number of hip and knee replacements that I do now where the patient goes home the same day. They have the surgery at our surgery center, and they're discharged home the same day. And so a lot of the advances have come in terms of techniques during the surgery to cause less trauma to the soft tissue, as well as some of the anesthesia protocols around the surgery that lead to quicker recovery. Additionally, pain control has come a long way in the postoperative period after these procedures, and that's helped us mobilize patients faster, which has been a great benefit to patients as well.
How about on the prevention side? Because folks are always wondering, are there different things they can do in order to try to keep their body healthier, whether it's kids and overusage issues, which is mostly an arm thing, but I assume there's also some risk factors, particularly, think about basketball and playing basketball for a long period of time. There's just hear from a lot of whether professional basketball players, college, or just guys that play pickup, that their knees do start to hurt over a period of time. Are there different things that folks can do to be a little bit more cognizant of their knees?
Arthritis is a tricky one in that one of the biggest risk factors for knee arthritis is genetics, and there's not much that we can do about that, obviously. I think some of the keys would be staying at a healthy body weight and getting moderate physical activity on a weekly type basis.
There's always concern, particularly for me as a skier, where how much you feel that you're kind of pushing your knees, your hips, and that you're relying on them so much. You're traveling at high speed. You're trying to hold position and such. Is that stuff something that leads to issues? If you're in other words, can you use your muscles or bones too much, and there's just a time where they just can't take it anymore, and that creates not necessarily arthritis, but wear and tear type injuries?
Arthritis is a wear and tear type phenomenon. So, if everybody lived long enough, eventually everybody would have hip or knee arthritis. Specific to skiing, skiing's a non-impact sport where you don't have that repetitive pounding like you would have with distance running. And so absent an injury, which obviously can occur with skiing, I would not have concern about the number of days that you ski leading to arthritis at a younger age.
That's interesting. And I think you make a good point, too, about some of the risk factors that that exist and the wear and tear side of things. Are there anything that jumps out at you in terms of misconceptions about total joint replacement? And I think for a lot of folks, hearing it, there's not necessarily a feeling initially that they have one way or another. So I think there's a lot that's defined initially by your encounter with folks when you talk about total joint replacement, correct? Or do they come in having some sort of a
preconceived notion?
I think we see both sides of it. Knee replacements are so common in particular. There's 700,000 or so per year in the United States. So almost all my patients at a certain age at least have a friend or an acquaintance who have had it done. And so most people have some idea about the surgery. I think one thing that's important for patients to remember is that it's the minority of patients who I meet and see that I actually operate on, and the vast majority are able to get by and manage their symptoms with lesser type things, some of the things we've talked about in terms of conservative treatment without jumping to surgery. And so education is a big part of what I do here in the office.
Another big point that you made is about individuals living longer. Now, we've seen the life expectancy in this country actually go down over the last couple of years, and that's been due to a rise in overdoses and suicides. But out on the upper end, where individuals are actually living longer, we're starting to get into the place you're talking about, where folks are living into their 80s, their 90s on a more consistent basis, and are doing such with pretty high rate of activity. And the person will have great mental acuity, their body's moving great, but they may just have one thing that that is, causing them discomfort. So what do you see as being, the future for orthopedic care, given the fact that people are living much longer and there's going to be much more of a need? And how do you, decide whether or not you're going to operate on a person with a total joint replacement or hip if they're like in their 90s?
That's a good point. And it's certainly uncommon for us to do a joint replacement for someone in their 90s for a reason other than a hip fracture, say. But we are seeing, more patients over time where they are healthy enough. And so it's for me, it's not so much about what their chronological age is. It's more about their health status. And so if they otherwise have the capability to be active enough to make use of a joint replacement and they're healthy enough to safely have the procedure, then it's something we can discuss. Again, hip and knee replacement's always an elective type procedure, and so no one ever gets pushed into surgery, but there are patients where it can make sense later in life like that.
In conclusion, how do you determine whether they are healthy enough? What are the factors that you look at? You mentioned one of them there, being able to, to use it. Are they still active? Is it a big part of their life? Coping, and also the overall health of the individual. And as you get older, or if you're in difficult physical condition, these types of surgeries have possible downsides, correct?
That's correct. And so in terms of determining whether or not patients are healthy enough, we cooperate and work with their primary care doctors, who know them very well and understand their health histories in terms of helping the patient ultimately make that decision.
Dr. Neil Dion here on Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. This hour of the program, again, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and this segment of the show brought to you by Concord Orthopedics. Appreciate your time.
Thanks very much for having me.
All right, we're going to come back with more on the Hampshire Now program after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also this fall by Carter Hill Orchard.